I feel personally that one of the problems in many pulpits today, much of the preaching going on today, avoids anything controversial. It won't deal with it. It won't face it. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I know specifically it's speaking about the Word of God, and we need to be knowledgeable of the Word of God. But the Bible also says that there was men that understood the times that they were in. And we need to understand the times that we're in. And that's why I'm kind of pulling off to the side of the road, and we're dealing with this issue here of what happened this past week. I've titled this Racism, Riots, Righteous Anger, and Anarchy. Because that's what's going on. That's what's happening. And as I said, I feel like a lot of pulpits won't deal with things like this. And that's been a problem. They want to avoid anything controversial. Why? Because it can offend people. When you come out strongly and you have an opinion against something that differs from someone else, it'll offend them. And they may leave church. And a lot of preachers are afraid to have people leave church over something like this. But at the same time, my concern is that our people don't know, what does the Bible say about this? How do we even respond to this? And I'm to preach all the counsel of God. That's what Paul told the Ephesian elders. He said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He said, I gave it to you all. I didn't keep things from you because I thought it might hurt your feelings or something like that. He said, I gave it all to you. And my job as a shepherd is to protect the sheep. And if I'm not informing you of things that are going on, how can I properly be a good shepherd if I'm not protecting you from the dangers that are out there? So that's why now and again, as things like this come up, I will deal with them and we will take a look at it. So as we start on this topic here, you know, racism is at the root of the murder. And that's what it is, the murder of five police officers and the attempted murder of another seven. Now, what led up to it, or what they say led up to it, was the shooting of two black men. Okay, I don't know if any of you watched the videos of those and what happened, but one was outside of a convenience store, the other was a man being pulled over for whatever reason. It's still not all the facts are in, not everything's clear on any of these. So I'm not going to really necessarily say if I think it was right or not. I don't know. The man that got pulled over, did anybody watch those videos? Did anybody see that? Okay, a couple people. The man that got pulled over, I mean, you're seeing it at the end, after the fact, after it's already happened. My gut feeling, and it doesn't mean it's even right, because not all the facts are in, and we don't know. None of us were there. We didn't see it. You know, just we need to sometimes get the mind frame of a police officer. They really do put their life on the line every day. I mean, they're going out there, and they have the possibility of getting shot just in cold blood for no reason. I mean, I forget the officer's name up in the East Mountains. I think it's been like 10 years now. Michael Astorga just shot him. He was just pulled him over. What was it? McGrain, yeah. Deputy McGrain. He was up there. He just pulled a man over, was walking up to him, and the guy just shot him. I don't face that in my job. So this is what they're going up to and what they're facing. And we have to understand, have that frame of mind, that this is what they're looking at. This is what they're facing. So that'll help us to not jump to conclusions either and just go out and the police are guilty. No, they're not. They may be. I mentioned the one up in these mountains. I think that was murder. My 100% opinion is that was a murder right there. But we need to just have that understanding. Either way, five police officers were murdered and there was an attempted murder on another seven of them based on their skin color, by the way. And the man said that. He said why he did it, if you've looked into any of this at all. He says, I'm targeting police officers and I'm mostly white men. I want to get white men. Why? Just isn't that racism? Isn't that what they're supposed to be against? Aren't they fighting racism, so they say? No, they're not. They're as racist as the KKK, if not more. They're racist. But racism is at the root of this. Racism is defined like this: poor treatment of or violence against people because of their race. Okay, and it's just skin color is what it is. I mean, again, I said racism is not found in the Bible. Race isn't even found in the Bible. The word race is used 4 times in the Bible. And each time it's talking about running. Okay, that's what it's talking about. So violence against people because of their race, the belief that some races of people are better than others. Where'd they get that idea from? Maybe Darwinism? The preservation of favored races, that some races are better than others? There's a complete double standard rising up in this country. It's okay to be racist towards white people, but you can't even disagree with a black person without being labeled a racist. Just look at President Obama. People that have disagreed with him, they're immediately labeled, "You're a racist." People that support Donald Trump, and I do not support Donald Trump, I'll just let you know, but people that support him, they're labeled racists just because they support him. You know, by the way, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, but you can support somebody and not agree with every stand that they take. And you can support them and not agree with everything they do 100%. But there's a complete double standard in this country. It is okay to be racist towards white people, but you can't even disagree with a black person. The same people who decry racism are the loudest racists in this country. That's what this Black Lives Matter thing is all about, racism. It's racist at the core. 1 year ago, everyone was called a racist for having a Confederate flag after a white man shot up a church. You're a racist if you have that Confederate flag. I mean, governments were pulling it down and everything. You can't have a Confederate flag. That's racist. And they even wanted to take off, I think it was Stonewall Jackson off of Stone Mountain or something. I forget where it's at. Probably in the Carolinas or something. If you remember that, they wanted him, they carved him out in the mountain. They wanted that taken down. Why? Because he represented the South. And by the way, I need to look and do more research into the Civil War. I want to, but I don't. That thing had nothing to do with freeing the slaves. Okay, there's quotes of Abraham Lincoln saying, "If I can keep this country unified and not free one slave, I'll do it." He had no desire to free the slaves. He didn't even want to. We don't hear about that, do we? We don't hear about that. That's the fact. I think that had more to do with the Civil War, had more to do with states' rights than anything. But that's another topic. I still have to look more into that. But 1 year ago, everyone was called a racist for having a Confederate flag because this white man shot up a church, a black church. Okay, whatever, if there's even such a thing. It's as if they labeled all white people or any associated with the Confederate flag as racists, which is what they did. They labeled them all racists. But they're not labeling all black people as racists for purposefully targeting white officers. Is that a double standard? That's a double standard. See, racism's okay if you're on the right side. It's okay, it's tolerated. If black lives matter, why have an estimated 15.5 million babies been murdered through abortion since Roe v. Wade? If black lives matter. That comes out to 349,000 black lives every year. Where's the outcry about that? I'm not trying to devalue any life. Not at all. And that's not what I mean by this statement. Some may take it wrong. But look, there's 300, I think it was like 1,800, a little over 1,800 black children, black babies, the most innocent of society, are murdered every single day. So 1,800 a day, dead. And there's nothing said about that. But two black men were shot, maybe unjustly, maybe not. And there's riots over it. And 5 officers lost their lives because they were the wrong skin color, which is exactly what these people are crying against. You know, I was just reading some Facebook posts by people in regards to this, and one of them, it might have been a Twitter post or something, but one of them said, you know, if all lives matter, or as long as all lives matter, you know, the hashtag all lives matter, then black lives won't matter. Doesn't all mean all? All means all. But that's not how they see it. It's black lives first. So if they really do matter, if black lives really do matter, why are 350,000 black children killed every year? Minority women equal 13% of the female population. Minority women. So that's going to include whatever, black, Chicano, Chicana, Asian, whatever it may be, any minority, Filipino, any minority is going to be included in that 13%. So minority women equal 13% of the female population, but they account for 36% of abortions. That doesn't quite fit, does it? That doesn't add up. Where'd all that come from? Why are they targeting minorities? What do we see over here? The preservation of favored races. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, do some looking into her. She was a racist. She was an absolute racist. And she wanted to basically do away with black people. So why is it that all these, you know, abortion mills are always, for the most part, in lower income neighborhoods where minorities are going to be? Why has our government, through welfare programs, replaced the father and is going to punish a woman for getting married and getting off of welfare? She's going to lose all her benefits, everything. They forced it, and I'm not saying it's right, and there's so many problems with it, but they've basically replaced the father. This is Satan's plan to destroy the home, but they've replaced the father with government. Because now, if the woman does get married and do the right thing, she's going to lose all her benefits. They're gone. So just stay contrary to God's laws. That's what they've set it up. They've set it up that way. So it's almost like you're trapped in this. You can't get out of this cycle. And I know you can and you can work hard, but they make it really hard to do it. And it's on purpose, by the way. It's absolutely on purpose. Let's make you dependent on us. Isn't that what a slave is? Dependent on the master? That's what's going on right here. They're making us all dependent on government. You think, Pastor, this pastor's crazy. No, you just start looking at what's going on. This is what they're trying to do. This is what socialism does, communism does. Let's put everyone on the government, you know, the government dole. Let's just do all the government plantation. Well, government makes nothing. Okay, so anything you get from government, you say, well, I want my government benefits. Anything you get from government creates nothing, zero. Anything you get from government, they took it from somebody else. They took it from somebody else. If you got it from government, it was taken from somebody else. Because government creates nothing, they only take. So they're going to make us all slaves so we're dependent on them. And then what can we do? How can we stand up and fight against that? I'm just letting you know, and some people could take this however they want, but our founding fathers separated from Great Britain over much less than what we tolerate today. Over much less than what we tolerate today. We have a facade of freedom in this country that does not exist. What can you do without government permission? What can you do? Can you collect rainwater without government permission? You think, what? Yeah, that's illegal in some places. Collecting rainwater. The government owns rainwater now. Well, it's all about control. Can you drive a car without government permission? You can. But are you legally allowed to? Nope. You're not. Can you build a building without government permission? Nope. You can't do anything without government permission. And there's so many more things you can't do. And all these fees and whatever it may be, it's just more taxes on us. Any government, anything we give to them, it's another tax. But hey, we're in the land of the free, right? So they want us all on the government payroll, government plantation. Why? So we can be slaves to them, content to them. You know, happy slaves until the money runs out. And then it's going to be rioting. All right. They target minority women. According to the Allen Guttmacher Institute, black women are 5 times more likely than a white woman to have an abortion. 5 times more likely. That means you get one white woman that's had an abortion, you can bring in 5 black women. They've had an abortion for every one white woman. 5 times more likely. Those statistics are taken from blackgenocide.org. I'm going to read you a few articles. I've got them all right here. If you want to see them, you can. But I've got printed in my notes what I want to read. But if you want to, it's right here for you. Report 1, this is via Breitbart. A group called the Black Power Political Organization is apparently taking credit for the Dallas police massacre that has left 5 officers dead and 7 wounded, according to the UK paper The Mirror. Here's what this said on their Facebook account. More will be assassinated in the coming days. Do you like the work of our assassins? Get your own sniper. That was a post on the Black Power Political Organization Facebook account. Let me say, this needs to be stressed. This was in the article. It cannot be confirmed whether this group or the Facebook account is actually connected to the Dallas massacre. Okay, so I just want you to know that. It's not been confirmed, but this is what this group is saying. Okay, this is taken from the Facebook page of the Black Power Political Organization. It says, Black Power Political Organization, BPPO, hashtag Black Power, hashtag Black Knights. Our mission is to free Africa. Anybody know what hashtag is? Just so you're like, what is he talking about? That's the pound symbol and then the words, okay? All right. Our mission is to free Africa and all black-based countries from non-black control and give black people the opportunity they need to develop themselves and reach their full potential. We are a powerful political group of patriotic, pro-black, pan-African leaders whose job is to rule and control Africa and all black-based countries so to avoid corruption, bribery, exploitation, non-black control, and every form of ailments preventing black people and Africa from reaching its full potential. It sounds like they want segregation or something. But they are in existence to stop all this and any ailment preventing black people in Africa from reaching its full potential. Here's this. To accomplish our goal, we will be working with Black People Protection Agency, aka Black Knights, a powerful group of well-trained professional sniper assassins. Why would you need well-trained professional sniper assassins unless you're planning on killing people? With tens of thousands of assassins located all over the world in every country, whose job is to hold government leaders and other powerful people all over the world responsible when they fail to give black people equal rights and justice in their countries. By relentlessly target and assassinate government leaders and other powerful, influential people and their families when they refuse to do right by us black people. That's taken from AllenBWest.com. I've got the website address here if you want all of it, plus the articles right here. Report number 2. Hours before gunmen opened fire on police officers in downtown Dallas, killing 5 cops and injuring 7 others, Louis Farrakhan, who knows who that is? Louis Farrakhan. He's another racist. He's the leader of the Nation of Islam, okay? Louis Farrakhan posted a message of hatred and violence against white people on social media. He put this up 3 hours before those shootings happened in Dallas, okay? Here's what he said. When you are willing and not afraid anymore to pay the price for freedom, don't let this white man, and when he says this white man, he's talking about white people in general, okay? Don't let this white man tell you that violence is wrong, Farrakhan said. Every expletive thing that he got it by being violent, killing people, raping and robbing and murdering. He's doing it as we speak, and then he has the nerve to come and tell us that violence and hatred won't get it? Don't buy that. Speaking about white people as one entity, Farrakhan proclaimed, he is worthy to be hated. And we wonder why? They're targeting police officers when this is what's being spewed. You can watch the video of it. You can hear him saying it. And he said all sorts of racist stuff. He gets invited to the White House, by the way, by our first black president. Just so you know, this is what our president supports. He's worthy to be hated, speaking of the white man. Flip it now. What if a white person said this? They'd be fired from their job, tarred and feathered. Their life would be ruined, would it not? But racism's okay if you're on the right side of the fence. And I say that sarcastically. The right side of the fence, okay, it's wrong. Report number three, an advisor to the new Black Panther Party and head of the African American Defense League posted a very different message on his Facebook page yesterday. Let me just grab this article here because, all right. Let me read you what President Obama said. Speaking in Poland today, this is dated July 9th, so this is from yesterday. Speaking in Poland today, President Obama said of the Dallas shooter that he was a demented individual who does not represent Black Americans any more than a white man accused of killing blacks at a church in Charleston, South Carolina, represents whites. Well, except that after the mass shooting in South Carolina, any white man, or city for that matter, displaying a Confederate flag for any reason was accused of condoning the killing of blacks and longing for the good old days of slavery. Obama also said that while there is sorrow, there is anger, there is confusion about how the U.S. moves forward. There is unity in recognizing that this is not how we want our communities to operate. This is not who we want to be as Americans. That's what the president said. Okay, but this advisor to the new Black Panther Party, head of the African American Defense League, put a very different message on his Facebook page yesterday. Here's what he said, and I looked at it. You can look this guy up and see some of the many racist things he says. But it's okay because he's black. You know, you get it, right? He said, "We are calling on the gangs across the nation." This is what this man's saying. The gangs across the nation attack everything in blue except the mailman, unless he's carrying more than mail. What's he saying? Go kill the police. Go kill the police. What do you think? I can look back because I used to listen to this ungodly music, but I can look back to rap music and I can look at NWA and you don't even want to know what their name stands for, okay? But when they had a song out there that said, some of you know what it is. I don't even want to say it because I don't want it even popping up in your head, but something derogatory against the police. And how many rappers have come out with that whole lifestyle of, hey, get the police, kill the police. They glorify this life of murder and gangbanging and everything else associated with it. Oh, but then you've got Snoop Dogg up there saying we need to come together. When his whole lifestyle's been built on that. And he even goes up there looking like a gangbanger. Why don't you leave that nonsense? Well, because it makes me money. But it's a good thing, everyone says. Except the music he's sung for the last 20 years has promoted the exact opposite. But this man, this advisor for the new Black Panther Party said, we're calling all on the gangs across the nation, attack everything in blue except the mailman. This was, the advisor is Dr. Morisselm Lee Millery. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's spelled M-I-L-L-E-R-E, and I did look at his Facebook page, and this stuff is there. He's the head of the African American Defense League. He continued by saying this, "We are calling on every gang, Crips and Bloods, and gangster across the four corners to put in some work because these racist crackers have put themselves in your business." I'm reading how it's written. "It's time for the Crips and Blood to shed some blood. Know what I'm saying?" In another post, he encouraged people to also kill firemen because they're on the same side as the police. I saw that post as well. So it appears, according to this post, that the Dallas shooter, Micah Johnson, may not be just one isolated, demented individual. Report number four. America's relativistic moral philosophy. This is taken from wayoflife.org. And it's excerpted from a Barna study, America Has a New Moral Code, from Answers in Genesis. Barna recently conducted a general population survey to determine current American views on morality. Over half of Americans think that whatever is right for your life or works best for you is the only truth you can know. Barna's president, David Kinnaman, argues that the formerly nominally Christian ethic that used to characterize this nation is being replaced with a new moral code. So a new morality is coming in for a new religion and a new Christ, which is no Christ at all. It's another Christ. It's got another gospel. See, all this plays hand in hand. These statistics I'm about to read you, they fit exactly in line with people that worship another Christ, don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've never been born again. They don't know Him through repentance and faith, but they're following after another Christ. They're following the god of this world. They're of their father, the devil. He says morality can be, this new morality can be characterized by self-fulfillment and has six guiding principles. The first being, now listen to these statements carefully. And again, this article's right here if you want it. The best way to find yourself is by looking within yourself. The best way to find yourself is by looking within yourself. Okay, this is one of my favorite verses here that's going to just trash like everything right here. But, you know, it's just the Bible. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So yeah, look within yourself. Best way to find yourself is by looking within yourself. Okay? 91% of U.S. adults agree with that. How many Christians do you think agree? Anyone got an idea? What do you think? You can throw out a number, a percentage. What do you think? 70? Who else? Anybody? You're not going to be wrong. I mean, you don't know. I wouldn't have known what the study said before. This blew me away. 76% of practicing Christians agreed completely or somewhat with this statement. Let me read it to you again. 76% of professing Christians. The best way to find yourself is by looking within yourself. Let me tell you this. Here's what the Bible says. The best way to find yourself is to die to yourself. That's God's way. If you want to go up with God, you need to go down. Humility. Not looking at yourself and what I want. Number two, people should not, here's the statement, okay? People should not criticize someone else's life choices. 89% of adults agree with that. Lost people, lost adults, okay? 76% of Christians agree with it. You should not criticize someone else's life choices. So John the Baptist was wrong when he stuck his finger in Herod's face and said that it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. When Jesus pointed his finger in people's faces and said that sin in your life is wrong, when he called the scribes and Pharisees, you vipers, you hypocrites, he was wrong. But this is Christian America here. Christians, professing Christians, 76% think that you shouldn't criticize someone else's life choices. Then throw the Bible away. What are you following? You're not following the Word of God. But this is this new morality. Number three, to be fulfilled in life, you should pursue the things you desire most. 86% of American adults agreed with that. 72% of Christians said yes, they agreed with it. To be fulfilled in life, you should pursue the things you desire most. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. How about you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's God's way. Not my way. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. My way is death. Go ahead, go after that, Christians. Why? Because they're getting nonsense. They're getting feel good, be happy messages from people like Joel Osteen. Like most evangelicals out there. Like many Baptists out there, they're getting feel good messages from them. Telling them it's okay. Hey, what makes your life better? Your best life now. And it's supposed to go ding, you know. Number four, the highest goal of life is to enjoy it as much as possible. 84% of adults, 67% of Christians agreed that this is the highest goal of life. How about we're on here to glorify the Lord? Okay, Revelation 4:11 talks about that. Number five, this number five doesn't even fit with the rest of their morality that they follow after. It just doesn't. People can believe whatever they want as long as those beliefs don't affect society. Those who agreed with this statement consisted of 79% of American adults, 61% of practicing Christians. But if the best way to find myself is to look within myself, and if I'm to be fulfilled in life, I should pursue the things I desire the most. And if you're standing in the way of me getting it, then why can't I harm you? Because, hey, I want what I want. It'll affect society. We're looking at this because this fits with what's going on. Why these cops are being shot? Because they say, this is what I want. This makes me feel good. This is right to me. The new morality. It's no longer thou shalt not kill. It's no longer that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Forget that. I mean, when we're killing the most innocent in our society, murdering them and ripping them to pieces, that's what abortion does. It rips a tiny baby to pieces. We don't love our neighbor. We've stopped loving our neighbor. When you'll kill someone based on the color of their skin, you're not loving your neighbor. Thou shalt not kill. Forget that. That morality's gone. I'm do what I want. I'm going to do what I want. The people that follow this philosophy of people can believe whatever they want as long as those beliefs don't affect society, the people that believe in these other five principles and that one are a walking contradiction. Number six, any kind of sexual expression between two consenting adults is acceptable. Nearly 69% of American adults, and how many think Christians? What's the percentage on the Christians? Christians. Who knows? Anybody want to guess? 40%. 40% of professing Christians agreed with this. Any kind of sexual expression between two consenting adults is acceptable. Hey, whatever's good for you. Consenting. It's against nature. God calls it an abomination. Before the law was ever given, He destroyed two cities over it. These statistics should provide a wake-up call to every Christian. You'll find none of these ideas in Scripture, but the majority of Christians accept 5 out of 6 of them. And, I mean, it's almost 6 out of 6 because it's at 40%. 40% accept that whatever sexual relationship you want to have is fine. David Kinnaman has some sobering thoughts on this new morality, our culture and the church. Here's what he said. The highest good, according to our society, is finding yourself and then living by what's right for you. So the highest good, according to our society, is find yourself and then live by what's right for you. There's a tremendous amount of individualism in today's society, and that's reflected in churches as well. Millions of Christians, and this is important we get this, have grafted New Age dogma onto their spiritual person. That's what it is. These beliefs are New Age. It's not biblical at all. But look, we'll get to it tonight because I'm going to continue this tonight because I knew there's no way I was going to finish this. I haven't even gotten into the actual notes. This is all introduction. But if you look in Judges, and we'll be there tonight, they left God. They departed the God of the Bible, but they always brought religion with them. They even supposedly called it worship of the one true God, but it was idolatrous. Always. So why wouldn't we expect the same thing of Christianity today? Solomon said there's no new thing under the sun. It's still going to be called Christianity. It'll still be labeled Christian, but it's not. It's New Age. They're following false gods. That's exactly what it is. So millions of Christians have grafted New Age, and Christians, I put it in quotes, it's not in quotes in this, but millions of Christians have grafted New Age dogma onto their spiritual person. When we peel back the layers, we find that many Christians are using the way of Jesus to pursue the way of self. What is it? Just a religious facade. While we wring our hands about secularism spreading through the culture, a majority of church-going Christians have embraced corrupt, me-centered theology. And that's where we're at. And this type of thinking, where we're looking at here, I read that about morality to show us this is why, this is how we can get to where we're at, where it's okay and people are for the murder, the cold-blooded murder of 5 police officers and the attempted murder of another 7. I mean, there was a video of one of them. You could watch the man get gunned down. I don't know if anyone saw that. I mean, it was horrible. You could see it. I mean, they're just hiding behind a pillar and they're facing each other, shooting at each other. And the guy just got the best of the police officer and shot him like 4 times in the back. You see, how do we get to this? I'll take it back, because God's people departed God. We left. And we are looking at God's judgment on this nation right now. Go to Isaiah with me, if you would, please. We haven't even read the text verse I wanted to start with. We'll get there. Isaiah chapter 3. I've read this to us before, but it fits. It's true. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. If you're there, say amen. As for my people, women are their oppressor, or children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. Look at it, read it again. When women lead a nation, that is God's judgment on that nation. When women are in charge, that is God's judgment on a nation. Who's our governor? Susana Martinez. Who's likely the next president of the United States? Hillary Clinton. Who was going to be vice president possibly last time around, 8 years ago? Sarah Palin. And conservatives were all, yeah, Christians, yeah. Hey, I was one of them. Okay? Do we line our thinking up with the Word of God? We have to. When we start looking at things like this, wait a minute, why am I voting for God's judgment? Now, I've been told, because I won't vote for Trump, that I'm actually voting for Clinton. Go figure that one out. A no vote's now a vote. That's okay. It don't matter to me. It doesn't bother me. I'm not voting for Clinton either, I'll tell you that. God's judgment is falling on a land when women rule over them. Some people, like, you're doom and gloom. Maybe, whatever, I'm reality. I'm looking at reality and where things are at, okay? If we don't do something as a nation, if we don't turn from our wickedness, I don't know when, I can't say when, the hammer of God's judgment is going to drop on this nation and things will change like that. And we're watching it unfold before us with the anarchy that's happening, because that's what that is. It's a complete just de-evolution of society and the framework that holds society. And God put certain laws and principles in place to govern our societies. And when anyone can just go kill anyone and get away with it, that's anarchy. When you can do just whatever you want and it's survival of the fittest, wonder why people are thinking like this and acting like this? Well, they think it's right, so who's to say it's wrong? Because they think it's right. See, because we left God, we threw God out. The principles of God. See, there's a separation of church and state. Absolutely, the Bible teaches that. Separation of church and state, but never a separation of God and state. Because who's the highest authority? Who's the highest power? All powers that be are ordained of God, right? Romans 13. You got to submit to government because all powers that be are ordained of God. What about when government doesn't submit to God? Who do we obey? Christians, we got to get the answers for this stuff now, before we're faced with the decision. What am I going to do? If we don't think through these things now, we're not going to know what to do. And I promise you, the majority will do the easy thing. Just go along to get along. In Russia, they just passed that you can only evangelize inside the church. It's got to be a state-registered church. if they're meeting just in a rented building or something, they have to disband. You can no longer proselytize or preach the gospel out in public, only within the walls of the church. How far you think we are from that right here? When what we preach, what I've preached today and in the past is hate speech. When they start labeling, that's hate speech. Don't we have the freedom of speech? As long as it's not hate speech, as long as it fits with what we tell you to say. Oh, that sounds like freedom of speech. The purpose of us having freedom of speech was so people could disagree and still voice their opinion. Our nation's under the judgment of God right now. We better fix it. I don't believe it's too late. I don't know when the Lord's coming back, and no one in here does. I think it's pretty soon. As I study the Bible and look at things happening in this world, I think it's really soon. Like our lifetime soon. Could I be wrong? It could be 100 years from now? Absolutely. I could be wrong, and it could be 100 years from now. It could be 200 years from now. I don't know. But it sure looks like it's going to happen real quick. I don't think it's too late for America to turn back to righteousness. I mean, we say with God all things are possible. Well, accept that. Why can't America turn back to God? Why can't a revival sweep this nation and God's people get right with Him and the lost are converted to Christ? You know, if a true revival sweeps this nation, bars will shut down. The wickedness and pornography will shut down. That stuff will go away. Why? Because when people get saved, it's amazing. Something happens. God's people start following Him and start just doing away with these things that they know are wrong. And it'll shut down. Yes, brother?
Yeah, when we went to Texas, you know how they're more about, you know, like Christianity, mm-hmm. the Constitution, all that, we noticed that Texans, they have a different attitude towards people. And, it's more godly. And their institutions, they hardly sell alcohol, they shut down early. I mean, it's awesome in Texas because you can see like the Christianity that's there.
Yeah.
It's amazing, like the bars, everything. I mean, they're far and few, and they shut down early, and they don't even sell alcohol. They sell like wine and beer.
Amen.
So it's amazing out there. I mean, I love Texas ever since traveling out there. I really like that place.
Amen. Yeah. See, that's good to hear. That's the influence of Christianity on a people. That's what it'll do. And that's our country used to be there. And we like kicked that thing over and we're running away from it as fast as we can. We're departing from that. And it's not better what we're running to. It's worse. Things will get worse. And I look at reality. I don't mean to like have everyone down and stuff after today, but let's just look at where things are at. None of these actions that have been taken over the past week are based on the righteous principles of God's word. It's all based on selfishness. What I want, what's best for me, a new morality. We as God's people must line our thinking up to God's word and His principles and not be ruled by emotion. These people are being ruled by emotion. They're not even thinking. They won't even listen to you. They won't listen to anything you have to say. We need to be careful of that ourselves. That you can disagree with someone, still listen to what they have to say. Give them a hearing, even to stand firm in your convictions. Stand firm on the Word of God. Don't waver in that. But still listen to them. Even if the whole time you're thinking in your head, this guy's an idiot. I can't believe he thinks this. You stand there and you say, okay, yeah, listen to them. They will be more likely to listen to you if you're willing to listen to them. And don't just be like, you know, listen to what they're saying, and it'll help you to have an answer to be able to refute them. I mean, don't waver in what you believe. Stand for what you believe, but listen to people. These people are run purely by emotion and what the media has told them. Because, oh, there's racism. It's racist. How about this statistic for you? Okay. The black population in America makes up 13% of the population. 13% of the population here in America is made up of black people. Okay? 52% of the murders in America are done by that 13% of the population. Half of the murders in America are done by 13% of the population. Something ain't right there. Black Lives Matter. Why don't we hear about all the black-on-black crime? All the blacks killing blacks. The white man's evil, slavery. Kill the white man. How come that those same people don't ever talk about the black slaves, the black slave owners in Africa that were selling the blacks to white men? How come we don't hear about that? Because that's how it went down. The tribal leader out there was selling his own people or people he conquered to the Europeans as slaves. We don't hear about that though. Why? Because that doesn't fit the narrative. And I'm not saying slavery was right. I completely disagree with it. It's wrong. But you don't hear, you only hear one side of the story. Why? Because that's what the media wants you to believe. So 52% of the murders of black people are done, of the murders, I'm sorry, in America are done by 13% of the population. Black people kill half of the people that are murdered in this country. That's what's happening. We don't hear about that though. Why? Because that doesn't fit the narrative. Forget the facts. Throw them out. Hey, let's wag the dog. Tell me what to think. Tell me what to believe. And let me get all hyped up on emotion. We have to be careful of that ourselves, that we don't just go off on emotion. We need to go off on principles and facts. And sometimes just withdraw yourself and think for a second. Think for a minute. Before you just react and respond, especially on Facebook posts. Just be careful of that, okay? Because I know sometimes I can read something, I'm like, oh, I got something to tell them. I've typed some stuff before. I'm like, oh, yeah, here. And then I deleted it all. Because I'm like, I don't know if that was in the right spirit. And I don't want to do it in the wrong spirit. I don't. Emotion is what got mankind into the sin-filled world we're in right now. 1 Timothy 2:14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. The emotion, she looked, she saw, she wanted. Looks good, let's do it. Adam, go ahead. He wasn't deceived, she was. Her emotions got the best of her. Adam ate it eyes wide open. Adam knew. Emotions got us there. So we'll pick up tonight. What does the Bible say about racism?